Слава Ісусу Христу! Please be seated. It is customary in civilian sectors to speak eulogies about the person who has passed. However, in church, it is customary to speak words of faith, words of conviction about what we believe in life, about the person who has passed from us, and about the healing touch of God. When we learned the Our Father, it is one of the few prayers that is not called a Christian prayer. It is called the Lord's Prayer, Hospodnya Molitva, because it is one of the few prayers that when you pray, you have to think about the entire world. It is not about a group of believers, some people, but it is the conviction that our Lord told us that we have one Father, our Father who art in heaven, and that throughout the entire prayer, there is no mine, there is no my, there is our Father. Forgive us our trespasses. This common theme that we as a human family, no matter how much we may divide ourselves or separate ourselves, we are connected to each other. Another common thing that we say as faith is that we are imperfect. Whether you call it sin or dysfunction, the reality is there. And no one has to convince another person. How often do we say, I'm only human? So this is not a place where I will eulogize Volodymyr and pretend that he was, unlike me, a perfect person. No, he was very much like me. After all, we went to grammar school together. We grew up together. We played, we fought, we argued, we forgot. But we were there together. And another conviction that we as Christians say is that we don't really know one another. There's a story about Napoleon, who was separated from his troops fleeing from Russia. And one farmer had the good fortune to find him and thought to himself, now I will have a reward. I will save the great Napoleon, and he will give me riches or power or position in his government. And so as the Russian troops were screaming and yelling, where is Napoleon? We want to kill him. This farmer hid him and saved his life. And after Napoleon's troops came by to rescue him, the farmer thought, now this is my time. I'm going to get my reward. And he goes to Napoleon and says, how did you feel as I was saving you from these Russian troops that wanted to kill you? And right away, the demeanor of Napoleon changed. He became angry. And in an angry voice, he told his troops, take this man outside and get him ready for execution. He put him against the wall and he said to his troops, raise your guns, ready, aim. And then he slowly walked over to the person and he said, that is how I felt. Because we don't know how a person feels and what they go through until sometimes we experience the very things they do. So this is the reason that in the scripture, the shortest sentence is the sentence when Jesus sees and hears the words that your friend Lazarus had died. And what does our Savior say? The author of all creation, the person who has the power of life and death, what does Jesus say? Nothing. The scripture says, Jesus wept. He cried. Because love wants unity. And even if you believe in life everlasting, in heaven, the fact that you are separated from the person that you love crushes your heart. And that's why the Panahida, which is actually about a party in heaven with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that the person who has died is finally having a great time. But it's sung in a minor key because we are not there. We are separated from the person that we love. I also have my vision of heaven and my vision of God. Although incomplete and perfect, it brings me comfort. I think God's not a father just, but he's a grandparent. You know, because parents often underestimate their children and overestimate their grandchildren. And when you visit grandparents, they have a refrigerator upon which they have the beautiful works of art of their grandchildren. Beautiful if you're on drugs. There's a line, there's a dot, there's coloring outside the line, and they go, "Father, isn't this beautiful?" And I lie. I say, "Yes, it is. It's beautiful." Why? Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The love of the grandparent looks at these attempts at artistry and say, "That is my lovely godchild. That is my lovely grandchild, my granddaughter, my grandson. I am in love with them." And that's the way I think God looks at us. People measure success in various ways, but God measures success in this way. "Look at my child stumble and fall and breathe and smile. What a wonderful kid. The world may say you're a loser. The world may say you failed here and there." And God puts your picture on his refrigerator in heaven and says, "Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful grandchild. They stumbled, they walked. They're 6 months old, they crawl." And the world will say, "Wow, that person hasn't produced much, hasn't succeeded. They're probably a failure." And God says, "You don't understand because you don't love. You look at the world and you think you know what you're talking about, but you're looking at it the wrong way." So often people will say, "Follow your dreams. The virtue of America is busyness. If I'm busy, I'm so busy, I got no time to think." God forbid you should rest. That means you have no meaning in life. But if you're busy, if you got the most out of life, if you spend your life in a frenzy, then somehow you're successful. But in God's eyes, it's not the dreams that you have. Your life will never kill your dream, like in Les Mis, because you are the dream. You are God's dream. And as long as you sincerely try, honestly love, and give your heart to God and to your fellow human beings, you will never fail and your dream will never die, because you are the dream that will be shared with other people. Now, we don't belong to one another. In none of the sacraments are the parents involved. We have godparents for baptism and confirmation. We have witnesses for marriage and priesthood. But we don't have the parents involved in the sacraments of the church for this simple reason. Children are never property. Your husband and your wife is never property. We are gifts to one another, gifts from God to one another. And that is why years ago when my sister said, "You love me because you have to," I said, no. I was trying to console her. She was having a hard time in grammar school. I says, "But I love you." She says, "You're my brother. You don't count. You have to love me." I go, "No, I don't, but I do, because I choose to love you." And so in every relationship, we are gifts. We have given Volodymyr back to his father in heaven. We may sing things in minor key because we're not there. And we proclaim something that people often forget about. Did you ever think all the icons here are about people who have died? Why do we paint pictures of people who have died? because of that solemn proclamations that relationships never end, that everything we say, we think, and we do matters, that there comes a time when we sow seeds for immortality today. And when I am honored to have you as my friend, as my brother and my sister, that that is a gift that I don't take for granted. And I'm happy that you share this life and this journey with me. Volodymyr shared it for a time, and now we pray for him to remind ourselves that this relationship is not over. It continues, and it reminds us that every time we have an opportunity to do something good, to become someone good for someone else, we should take advantage, because we are not guaranteed to one another, we are not property to one another, we are God's great gifts to one another. And that's where you never possess someone. You accept the gift that they give to you of themselves every day. And so if there was anything that you valued in Volodymyr's life, things that you wanted to be part of yours, build him a living monument in the way you take care of the people that you love and the people who are placed in your life. Because Christianity is about life, not simply about memories. We don't just remember Volodymyr today. We pray for him because he is alive in Christ Jesus, and our relationship with him continues just as ours continues. So don't be afraid to die. Be afraid of not having lived and not having loved. And every opportunity that presents itself to you, you say to yourself, great, I have another opportunity to forgive, to love, to be a friend, to be a brother, to be a sister. What a great thing it is to be alive, that we can sow seeds for immortality, that we can build relationships that will last forever. So when you look in nature and you look at a lonely seed planted in the ground, how can this acorn ever become a mighty oak? Because nature gives us this promise that this body planted in this field of the Lord called the cemetery would someday blossom into eternal life. May God keep Volodymyr in his care, and may we remember to be nice to one another as we journey to forever. Slava Isusu Christu!